Well, I hope you had a good afternoon. And anybody get a nap? Amen. Praise. I got a good nap. I needed a nap. I was wore out for some reason. I don't know why, but I needed a nap. So I was glad to get one. And it's something about that Sunday afternoon sleeping, too. It's just like it's better than any other time in the day. I can't explain it. It just is. And so I thank the Lord for the rest that He gives us. And appreciate you. I probably don't say it enough. I love pastoring at Pleasant Acres Church. I love being your pastor. I love ministering here and our family. We love pouring our life into this ministry and into your family. And sometimes I look at myself. I told our deacons this just the other night, Wednesday night after church, we met for a little while, and I said, sometimes I feel like I'm doing okay at it, and sometimes I know I fall so short in being a pastor, but what doesn't lack is our love for you. It's one of the things that just reading after the Apostle Paul, probably just about every day of my life, I sense that love and passion for people in his writings. If the Apostle Paul was the greatest church planter to ever live, and if we many times, I don't know if we say it flippantly, but if we consider the Apostle Paul to be the greatest Christian to ever live, there are two things I know about him. Number one, he loved God. And number two, he loved people. And I guess that'd be a pretty good purpose statement for each one of our lives, to love God and to love people. Thank you for the privilege to be here and serve. We do love it. I guess I have to kind of soften you up a little bit because of what I'm preaching on tonight. Tonight and next Sunday night, I want to talk to you about something that I do not preach on much. I have mentioned probably even more because I'm understanding it's okay to mention it. I would dare say if there are commands in the Scriptures that God's people need to hear, I would think it would be my responsibility to tell you about them. Amen? So if it's something in the Word of God and God's people need to hear it, I think it's my responsibility to tell you as your pastor. In fact, to the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul said, you will know when I stop loving you, when I stop preaching the Word of God to you. That's when you'll know I don't love you anymore. And there are some things, I've never been afraid to address anything, but one thing that I really want to just spend, and not hardcore messages, I just want to give you God's heart on this particular matter. But I do believe that giving is something that is very important to God. Now, by the way, I didn't expect anybody to say amen at that point, because why would you? That's setting your own self up. Nobody likes to hear a message on giving. Nobody. Even those that are giving do not like to hear messages on giving. And yet, do you realize tonight that the word give is mentioned in the Scriptures in some form or various fashion 2,162 times in the Bible? The word believe is mentioned 271 times, prayer 268 times, and love 714 times. More than all three of those combined, does the Bible say something about giving? And then the way the Bible says it, and the portions of Scripture that we'll just kind of topically look through tonight and next week, I just have to believe that God, number one, has a great perspective about giving, and number two, I believe that God wants His people to be as passionate about giving as God is. How many think that we serve a passionate God? Raise your hand. We serve a God of passion. And if you were to look at what His passions are, I'm telling you what one of His passions is. Absolutely, without apology, without even fear of being wrong, I know the Bible teaches that one of God's passions is giving. God is a giver. In fact, in John 3, and you know the context of this, in John 3, the context is the conversation with Nicodemus. The context is that God, through Jesus Christ, God in flesh, as we even talked about today, he said, I and the Father are one. Jesus here is talking to Nicodemus about the new birth. And my friend, today, may we get away from just simply asking somebody if they're saved. Or we ask them, are you on your way to heaven? Everybody thinks they're on their way to heaven. Guess what? Everybody's not on their way to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said that many that come to him on that day, literally the majority that come to him on that day, are not going to heaven. There will be multitudes more in hell than there will be in heaven. You understand that, right? Why? Because wide is the gate, broad is the way. It's broad, it's wide. There's many, the majority follow that. But there's a few that come through the straight gate. There's a few, that go through the narrow way and believe. And here he's talking to Nicodemus about what it takes to be a believer. He says to Nicodemus in chapter 3, in verse number 5, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. He says later on to Nicodemus, verse 7, marvel not that I have said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, in my opinion, that's the question we need to start asking people. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been transformed? Have you ever been converted? See, those are words when people are like, well, what does that mean? Well, if somebody has to ask you what does that mean, they probably have never been. Everybody knows kind of saved, and everybody knows heaven, and everybody thinks they're going there, and they think they're saved, and they think they're right with God. Has there ever been a point in time in your life where you've been born again, where you've been transformed, where you've been converted in Christ? Those are the questions. And here it's in this context that Jesus gives us the most famous verse in all of the Bible, where Jesus gives us John 3:16. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. Which tells me this. If nothing else should motivate you to give, love should. Love should. I'm a firm believer that you give to people you love. Or at least you better. You got an anniversary coming up? Gentlemen, you better step it up. And by the way, if they say a card is all they want, that's not what they mean. Hello? They want more than a card. They want flowers. They want a date. They want a gift that keeps on giving. You give to people you love. It thrills my heart that at Christmas time and at birthdays to buy for our children. I love when spontaneously the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart to buy something for my wife, because I need his help to remind me I need to do that from time to time. And it thrills my heart to see her expression on Mother's Day. I'm not real big on buying flowers. And here's the thing. I know my wife, and she's not in here tonight, I don't think. Good. But because I'm incriminating myself if she was. But I know that's one of the things she likes. I'm just not very good at buying it. But for Mother's Day, I did, guys. Like, lots of roses. More than a dozen. I don't even know how many it was. It was a dozen and something. And I surprised her. I put them in there, and she was already in bed and Saturday night. And when she came up Sunday morning, she saw them. That day was good. I got points that day. But I enjoy giving. Period. But I really enjoy giving to those I love. Love is always the greatest motivation for giving. Always. Why do we bring our tithes and offerings to the storehouse? Not just because God commanded it, because we love God. Why is it that at our Southeastern Day offering today, am I willing to give sacrificially to Southeastern? Why? Because I love the college. Why do I give to Pleasant Acres Free Will Baptist Church? Not just because of obedience to God, but I love this ministry. I love this ministry. I give many times because of love. The Bible says here that God's greatest motivation for giving was His love. And yet over in the Scriptures, over and over in the Scriptures, we see that giving is more than just about the pocketbook. You understand tonight that giving is about the heart. If you have a problem with giving, you have a problem with God. I'm going to say it again. If you have a problem with giving, you have a problem with God. Because giving is always a heart issue, not a wallet issue. And I wish the church would understand that. I wish we could come together and understand and fathom that whether it makes sense or not to give practically, it always makes sense to give spiritually. Always. I never want to be known as one of those churches that all they talk about is giving. That's never my goal. In fact, I probably have preached on it as probably less than just about any other main topic of the Scriptures. And yet God's people need to understand the principles of giving. Giving is not a minor topic of the Scripture. I believe giving is a major topic of the Scriptures. Go to Luke chapter 6, if you will. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus here gives a command right in the middle, really, of a message He's preaching to His disciples about a number of principles that are absolutely still relevant today. But He says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now, I do not believe that He's talking about the same measure that if you give $100, it's coming back in $100. I do believe with all of my heart that the way God gauges giving is not by amount, but by sacrifice. That if you have sacrificed in an abundant way, then God is going to make sure that in an abundant way, you get rewarded. And that may not be here on earth, but sometimes, church, it may be. You never know. That's up to God, by the way. You don't play, it's not like gambling with God, where He's saying, okay, I'm going to tithe, but I'm only going to tithe because I know God's bringing bigger stuff to me next week. That's not why you give. But when you do give, sometimes that happens. It has been the times in our life where we have been the most faithful in giving that God has been the most faithful to us. I told you that quote today. Show God your faith and He will show you His faithfulness. And here He says, when you give, you will be rewarded. It'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal." Now let me say this. That does not mean that God is against any kind of enterprising, that God is against any kind of business. That does not mean that God is not against any kind of earthly stewardship. God is not against those things. In fact, the Bible speaks a lot about those things too. But what God is against is you laying your confidence in the things of this world. That's what God's against. He said, you don't lay up for yourselves those things. Those things that are most valuable to you should not be things on this earth. Because everything on this earth, moth and rust, will corrupt. And thieves at some point will break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. And thieves do not break through and steal. And then verse 21, if you've never underlined this in your Bible, if you've never circled this, I want you to do it right now because I believe it's that valuable to this principle. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What you put value in screams everything to the world and to God where your heart is. Where your heart is. How many times do we see in the Scriptures God associating giving with the heart condition? Those people that hold their money with a tight fist, number one, that's what it looks like. But when you hold it with a tight fist, you say, nothing's grabbed out of my hands. As Dave Ramsey teaches us, well, when you do that with your money, guess what? Not only is nothing coming out, but guess what? Nothing's going in either. And I believe the principle of godly giving is the open hand, where you give God liberty to do whatever He wants to with your money. But that hand is only open, hear me, when this heart is open to it. Giving is a heart condition. And so let me give you three principles about giving. I'm going to give them to you quickly, and then we're going to go home. Number one, one reason to give tonight is because giving does meet your needs. Giving meets your needs. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of opposite. I know that's what the world would have you believe. How can you give to the church? Because if you give to the church, you're going to have less to give to your collectors and those that you owe and the utility company, and you're going to have less to go out to eat, and you're going to have less to go shopping with, and you're going to have less for your hobbies. How can you give to God and give to the church? Because if you give to them, you're not going to have what you need. And I would say the opposite is true. As you give to God and live in obedience from the heart, I believe then you will have more than what you need. This is what I know. I see the same amount of money in certain people's hands, and they just blow it. You put $1,000 in this guy's hands, he blows it. You put $1,000 in this guy's hands, and he's got investments, and he's purchased things, and that stuff's grown, and you're like, what was the difference? It wasn't the amount. It was what they did with it. You hear me? God can do much more with what you have after you give than you can by keeping it all. God does not command us to do that which we cannot do. Well, preacher, and listen, I do a lot of financial counseling. And I have people say, we can't afford to give. And what do I always tell them? You can't afford not to. Somebody is going to get it. And listen to me, and God's going to make sure of that. It hadn't been too long ago, I was trying to pump up with one of those little air compressors. I was pumping up an air mattress. We had some folks coming for the weekend or something. And I was pumping an air mattress, and it started going, and it was looking pretty good. So I left it, and when I came back, I mean, that thing should have been so tight, it probably should have exploded. When I came back, it was still about the same level it was when I left. I'm like, what is the deal? So I stopped the pump, and, you know, you kind of troubleshoot, and the pump's working fine. I mean, it'd blow your hair off, you know. So the pump's working fine, and I'm, you know, all the things that need to be closed that let the air out, you know, they're all closed. And so I put it back in and go for it again, just kind of watch it. And then all of a sudden I hear this. I'm like, either somebody's trying to get my attention or there's a leak. And there was a leak. And truth is, I could have kept that pump on that all day long, and it is not blowing that bed up. So what did I do? Go buy another one? No. We got some duct tape. It passed the hole, though. Listen to me. You don't give, it doesn't matter how much comes in. God will make sure. God will make sure it leaks out. But if you do give, God puts something on it better than duct tape. God will make that money go further than you can even imagine. God would never command you to do something that you could not do. Thus, God's command for giving does not rob us of our resources. It actually enhances our ability to be resourceful. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. The Bible tells me that those gifts that I need, those things that I need, that provision I need, it doesn't come from my money. It comes from my God. But only when I obey. Only when I obey. How many can relate to this? That there's been a time in your life, a time in your Christian life, when financially it did not make earthly sense to give to God? Raise your hand. Keep it up. It didn't make sense. All right, put it down. How many of you, when you have obeyed God, you have many times gone to your checkbook, if you balance your checkbook, or you just kind of looked at your monthly budget, and you're like, there's no way we should have gotten through that month. Raise your hand if that's true. Absolutely. Why? Because when you obey, your needs are taken care of. Giving doesn't take away your ability to meet your needs. Giving meets your needs. It meets your needs. Which leads me to number two. Not only does giving meet your needs, but giving points us to our provider. That's another thing giving does. When those offering plates go around, we have a special offering, or somebody comes to you and they have a need, and you got $5, $10, $15 in your pocket, and that's all you got to your name to the end of the month, and yet God speaks to your heart and says, you know what, you need to give that to that person. You say, we're preaching. Sometimes we get spiritual. Well, we don't know what they're going to do with it. Listen, that's irrelevant. It's not my job to know what they're going to do with it. It's my job to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And if God says, give them the money, guess what? I need to give them the money. Because if I don't give them the money, I'm going to have a hole in my pocket, and it's going to be gone somewhere. I need to give them the money. You say, well, what if they do something bad? What if they buy, you know, alcohol? Or what if they do this with it? Listen, that's between them and God. All I know is Jesus said, if I give a cup of water in His name, it's like I've done it to Him. And that's okay to me. When the Holy Spirit of God tells me to give, I give. And yet giving frees us. It frees us from belief that we are our own providers. Sometimes you need to give to the point where it doesn't make sense. You know what? I have to believe JCPenney did that. Anybody ever bought anything from JCPenney's? Sure you have. JCPenney, it said about him when he got his heart right with God, this is, by the way, before he really made it rich. JCPenney had made a covenant with the Lord that he would give 90% of his income to God and he would live off of 10%. This is before he was rich. And I think all of us know how JCPenney died. Pretty wealthy man. Off of 10%. This is what I believe. I believe God can do more with your 10 than you can do with 90. Amen? And yet when JCPenney did that financially, there were times it probably did not make sense, and yet he still did it. Why? When we give to the point where it doesn't make sense, it keeps our eyes on our provider. It doesn't say, well, we'll be okay because my budget says we're going to be okay. It says we're giving till it hurts, and yet we're going to be okay because my God said we're going to be okay. It puts my eyes on Him as my provider. And someone once commented, the trouble with some self-made men is that they worship their creator, their self. And yet, my friend, today you're not a self-made person. God made you. He breathed life in you. That's why you have a living soul. And He is our provider. Glory to God is a tangible, or giving rather to God, is a tangible way of acknowledging that we are not self-made, that all we have and all we are comes from God. It comes from Him. We could go to Luke chapter 12 tonight and the story of the rich man who had so much that he had to build bigger barns, and he was self-motivating, and he was telling himself that I need to build bigger barns because I got so much stuff and I've been so blessed and business has been so good. And so he said, self, we're going to build bigger barns so that we can get more stuff. And God said, you are a fool because all you're focusing on is your stuff. Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. My friend, never get so consumed with stuff Never get your eyes on stuff. Get your eyes on God. You say, preacher, how can I get my eyes on God? Give. Give. This is probably even against a Dave Ramsey budget principle. But what I want you to do is I want you to develop a zero-based budget. Say, preacher, what is a zero-based budget? I want you to spend everything you make. You're like, I do that every month. Strategically spend everything you make. And then I want you to go back to the top line, and I want you to give a little more. What is that going to make you do? Number one, it's going to make you keep your eyes on God. I also believe it'll make you keep your eyes on your spending too. But Christy and I, there have been many times when a need arose somewhere and we said together, we're going to give to it. We don't have it. We're going to give to it. And God always blesses us for that. I love to give when we have to say, okay, God, I'm trusting you to give this. I'm trusting you to be able to do this. And listen to me, that's exactly where God wants us to be. In a place of trust. Number one, giving meets our needs. Number two, giving keeps our eyes on our provider. But number three, giving teaches us to live by faith. Giving teaches us to live by faith. Obedience to God's plan for giving forces us to live by faith. For faith is displayed by obedience. Malachi, go to Malachi if you will, just a few pages over. Malachi chapter 3, we always stray away from this passage, and yet in my opinion, God made an incredible promise to Israel here. This is an incredible promise that I believe is still relevant today. I do believe the promise can still reign true today in your life. You say, what was the promise? In verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now again, strategically, God probably put it in Malachi as good as he put it anywhere else in the Bible. He told us, number one, what to bring. He told us, number two, where to bring it. He told us, number three, why to bring it. And then the last thing, in conclusion, God was sermonizing this promise. He said, and when you do bring it, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you. So what do we need to bring? The Bible says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. Preacher, do you believe in tithing? Absolutely. I believe that tithing is a great place to start giving. You don't start giving it 1%, ladies and gentlemen. You start giving it 10%. That's the entry level. That's kindergarten. Amen? That's where you start. Tithing, some people think that tithing is 12th grade. Tithing is the bachelor's degree in college. Tithing is a master's. Tithing is a PhD. No, tithing is kindergarten. That's where you start. Because earlier he said, where you've robbed me is in tithes, where you start. And offerings, all those other things you should be giving that God puts in our heart that we ignore. He said, bring ye, number one, tithes, the 10%. You say, preacher, what about, is it gross or is it net? Well, truth is, I'm going to tithe on the gross so that way if I get to heaven and I was wrong, I'm good. Because then it turned into tithes and offerings, right? Not to mention the principle of the first fruit says that I think you should give it to God before you give it to Uncle Sam. Amen? Whatever. Y'all are really convinced of what I'm saying tonight. I appreciate that. Bring ye, number one, what? Tithes. Where? Into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? Church. It's the church. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, this really works out good for you. I don't make my salary based upon what you give, you know? What you give only does what God said it would do, which is the why, that there may be meat in my house. What do you give? You give the tithe. That's kindergarten. Where do you give it? You give it to the storehouse. That's the local church. Why do you give it? God said that there may be meat in my house. So let's reconcile this together. What God is saying, or is God saying, that He needs you to give, because if you don't give, then His church is going to die financially. I don't think that's what God's saying. This is what I think God is saying. He wants to use you to provide for His church. Now, God doesn't need your money. That would be like me saying to Micah, "Micah, I need that quarter in your piggy bank." And he's looking at me like, "Well, you ain't getting it, Jack. Still working on it." I don't need that quarter. That quarter doesn't mean a whole lot to me at this point. And yet, times infinity, how much money you have, you don't impress God with that. God's not looking at a spreadsheet like we look at a daily spreadsheet and say, "Whew, I sure am glad Luke gave today. I sure am glad Danny tithed today. I'm sure glad Billy put his offering in, because if they hadn't got Gabriel, we had gone down." No, God is the provider. Here's the privilege of it all. He just chooses to use you and me. Let me liken it to something I have before. It's the same thing with the Great Commission. God didn't have to choose to use us to get the gospel around the world. He just chose to do that. The truth is, if God wanted to structure it different, He could have, but He didn't. God told us, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He chose to use us. And now the salvation of millions of people hinge on whether or not we obey. And God said, I'm going to provide for my church, but I'm choosing to use you to do that. Isn't that great? I want, with the same passion that I have in going and spreading the gospel, I want to have that same passion in giving as well. It's what? The tithe. It's where? The church. It's why? That there may be meat in my house. And this, in conclusion, he says, this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to open up windows of heaven. And God said this, and I'm going to pour out a blessing that you're not even going to be able to receive. Now, one of the first places that my mind goes is when Jesus told the disciples, "Listen, I know you've toiled all night and you've caught nothing and you're tired and you're discouraged and you're a little bit cranky, but I want us to go out again. I want us to launch into the deep, and I want you to lower your nets down, but this time I want you to do it on the other side." And Peter said, "Lord, we've been out here all night. We hadn't caught a thing. We're tired, but at thy word, we're going to do it again." And when he put the net in, they tried to bring it back up and they couldn't. There were so many fish in the net that it started sinking the ship, and they started calling other boats over. I believe this is the same principle. When we obey God and when we put our nets in the water by faith, God said, "I'm going to fill it up with fish. I'm going to fill it up with fish." But you've got to give. Giving teaches us to live by faith. And although we are now living in the church age, in the age of grace, it is still my conviction that Christians are not under a lesser law than the Old Testament. I believe our law is greater. It's the law of grace. Paul Chappell, he calls it God's economy. And yet in God's economy, He requires us to give. But when we give, it meets our needs. When we give, it points us to our provider. When we give, it teaches us to live by faith. I don't think anybody here makes enough money that you don't have to, if you give like you're supposed to and like God puts in your heart. I don't believe there's anybody here who can give without living by faith. And I'll say this, if you are giving and it doesn't take faith, then are you giving as much as God wants you to give? I believe giving always crosses the line of faith. Always. And so let me go back to the beginning. Why do I give? Why would I even engage in this? Well, because I love God. And because it absolutely reveals my heart. It reveals my heart. your house was on fire tonight, and I knew it, and I didn't tell you, and by the time you got home, all your stuff was burnt up and gone, would you be mad at me? I would say yes, and if you weren't mad at me, I would wonder if you started the fire. Sure you would. That means I knew something was wrong and I didn't tell you. And because of that, you would have some animosity toward me because I should have told you. Well, listen to me. Something is wrong with the church when we lose sight of how important giving is. And I would be wrong if I didn't tell you. And so let's be committed to being givers. Because I know this, the more I give, man, the more I'm like God. Because God is a giver. He's a giver. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this evening. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, and by the way, this does not have to have any bearing on whether you're being obedient or not being obedient. Whether you're giving like you should or you're not giving like you should. But tonight, here's the question. Would you be willing to recommit your heart, not just your wallet, but your heart, to giving like God wants you to give? Would you be willing to commit yourself to God to say, God, I want to be a giver just like you? If that's you tonight, you say, preacher, I want God to do a work in my heart when it comes to giving. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand tonight? Just lift it up. I want to recommit myself to being a giver. Hands all over this building. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Right now, would you just gather around this altar? If that's you, you say, God, help me to be more willing to give, to be more sacrificial in my giving, to give from my heart. I'm not just telling you need to put more in the plate. I don't know what anybody here puts in the plate. But I do know this. God knows the amount and God knows the level of sacrifice. Is it pleasing to God tonight? You need to come. Blake's going to sing. One stanza, you come.
I give all my treasures to you. I give all my treasures to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my treasures.
He's going
to
sing that chorus one more time. Commit it to the Lord tonight.
I give all my treasures to you. I give all my treasures to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my treasures to you.
Father, thank you for your word, and I pray tonight that you'll help us all to soften our hearts to this principle. To open our ears, to open our eyes, to open our hands, and open our heart to how you deal with us about giving. Giving is right. Giving is godly. Giving is all about the heart. And so, Lord, would you take these principles? Would you place them in our hearts? Help us to be better at this principle. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen.